Welcome to Zichu Daf Sim Mani. I'm Rabbi Avram Goldar, and today we're Maseches Erevin Daf Lamed Gimel. So the three topics are going to focus on number one. In a brisa was brought as the source for the machlokes between Rebbe and the Rabbanon, whether the Rabbanon's applied during Bein Hashmashos. Rebbe said that if one placed the Erev in a basket and hung it on a tree, even if it's hanging above 10 tefachim from the ground, the Erev is valid. Ravina clarifies that the tree lacked a width of 4 tefachim and is therefore not a Rishus Yachid, and the basket completes the width to a total of 4 tefachim. Rebbe views the basket as if it had a width of 4 tefachim because he holds like Rebbe Meir holds, Chokaking L'Hashlim, that we imagine we carve out a solid edifice to achieve the required dimensions. In this case, we view part of the tree that is adjoining the basket as if it were hollowed out, thereby extending the width of the basket to a width of 4 tefachim. Rebbe requires a width of 4 tefachim because he holds, like Rebbe Yehuda, who said, Be'in an Erev al Gabi Makam Arba. We require that the Erev be in a place that is at least 4 tefachim wide so that it's on a Makam Chashuv. Point number two, the Gemara asks why the basket is not considered to be a Rishus Yachid, since halakhically it's viewed as it's 4 tefachim wide, and therefore the Erev should be invalid because it's no longer accessible from the Rishus of Rabbim. This would be in line with what Rabbi Yossi but Rabbi Yehuda said, that an area that is elevated 10 tefachim high off the ground and is 4 tefachim wide is considered to be a Rishus Yachid based on the principle of good achis. We view the walls of the elevated basket as if they extend down to the ground and make up a mechitza of 10 tefachim. The Gemara says that even Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda would agree in this case that the basket is not a Rishus Yachid because we must first apply the principle of Chokaking L'Hashlim to make the basket 4 tefachim wide, and then use the principle of good achis to extend the walls downward. And we don't combine these two principles together. And point number three, Rabbi Yirmiyah said that the Erev in the basket could be valid even in a tree which is 4 tefachim wide, which gives the tree the din of Rishus Yachid. Seemingly, the Erev in the basket would be invalid since it's not accessible to one standing Rishus Rabbim. Rabbi Yirmiyah explains that a basket is different since he can tilt one end of it downward and bring it within 10 tefachim of the ground. This would cause the Erev inside to be transferred from a Rishus Yachid to a Karmelis, making it accessible to one standing Rishus Rabbim during Bein Hashmashos, and therefore it is valid. So once again, the three points are number one. In a brisa that was brought as the source for the machlokes between Rebbe and the Rabbanon, whether the Rabbanon's applied during Bein Hashmashos, Rebbe said that if one placed the Erev in a basket and hung it on a tree, even if it's hanging above 10 tefachim of the ground, the Erev is valid. Rabina clarifies that the tree lacked a width of 4 tefachim and is therefore not a Rishus Yachid, and the basket completes the width to a total of 4 tefachim. Rebbe views the basket as if it had a width of 4 tefachim because he holds like Rebbe Meir, who holds Chokaking L'Hashlim, that we imaginarily carve out a solid edifice to achieve the required dimensions. In this case, we view part of the tree that is adjoining the basket as if it were hollowed out, thereby extending the width of the basket to a width of 4 tefachim. Rebbe requires a width of 4 tefachim because he holds like Rebbe Yehuda, who said, be in an Erev al Gabi Makam Arba. We require that the Erev be in a place that is at least 4 tefachim wide so that it's on a Makam Chashuv. Point number two, the Gemara asks why the basket is not considered to be a Rishus Yachid, since halachically it's viewed as if it's 4 tefachim wide, and therefore the Erev should be invalid because it's no longer accessible from the Rishus of Rabbim. This would be in line with what Rebbe Yossi Rebbe Yehuda said, that an area that is elevated 10 tefachim high off the ground and is 4 tefachim wide, is considered to be a Rishus Yachid based on the principle of good achis. We view the walls of the elevated basket as if they extend down to the ground and make up a mechitza of 10 tefachim. The Gemara answers that even Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda would agree that in this case, that the basket is not a Rishus Yachid, because we must first apply the principle of Chokaking L'Hashlim to make the basket 4 tefachim wide, and then use the principle of good achis to extend the walls downward, and we do not combine these two principles together. And point number three, Rebbe Yirmiyah said that the Erev in the basket could be valid even in a tree which is 4 tefachim wide, which gives the tree the din of Rishus Yachid. Seemingly, the Erev in the basket would be invalid since it's not accessible to one standing Rishus of Rabbim. Rabbi Yirmiyah explains that a basket is different, since he can tilt one end of it downward and bring within 10 tefachim of the ground. This would cause the Erev inside to be transferred from a Rishus Yachid to a Karmelis, making it accessible to one standing Rishus Rabbim during Bein Hashmashos, and therefore it is valid. All right, so now we go to a Simon for Lamed Gimel, and the Simon is a peg leg pirate. A peg leg pirate. So here goes. When the pirate with a peg leg spotted the long lost treasure hidden in a basket on a thin tree that was imaginarily hollowed out and had invisible mechitzos, He shot a cannonball, and the basket tipped over. Once again, in slow motion. When the pirate with a peg leg, that must mean we're on Duff Lamed Gimel. When the pirate with a peg leg spotted the long-lost treasure hidden in a basket on a thin tree that was imaginarily hollowed out, which reminds us that Rebbe holds that an Erev in a basket that is above 10 tefachim on a tree that is not 4 tefachim wide is valid. He holds like Rebbe Meir that chokeking l'hashim, that we imagine that we hollow out part of the tree so that the base of the basket extends and becomes 4 tefachim wide, which he requires because he holds like Rebbe Yehuda, who requires an Erev to be on a place that is 4 tefachim wide, which is a makom chashuv. So when the pirate with the peg leg spotted the long-lost treasure hidden in a basket on a thin tree that was imaginarily hollowed out and had invisible mechitzos, which reminds us that we do not apply Rebbe Yosef Rebbe Yehuda's principle of good achis to extend the walls of the basket downward and create mechitzos, which would give the basket the status of a reshus yachid, because we don't combine chokeking l'hashim and good achis together. So when the pirate with the peg leg spotted the long-lost treasure hidden in a basket on a thin tree that was imaginarily hollowed out and had invisible mechitzos, he shot a cannonball, and the basket tipped over. Which reminds that Rebbe Yirmiyah said that the tree could be 4 tefachim wide, and the Erev could still be valid by tipping the basket downwards so that the Erev is below 10 tefachim in a karmelis, where it is accessible to someone who is rubbing during banish mashos. So once again, when the pirate with the peg leg spotted the long-lost treasure hidden in a basket on a thin tree that was imaginarily hollowed out in invisible mechitzos, he shot a cannonball, and the basket tipped over. All right, now it's time for our 4 Brat Bach Chazara. Daf Chavtes. So the symbol Chavtes is a cot. So here goes. The indecisive Erev maker put 5 peaches on his cot. Cot, that must be more on Daf Chavtes. The indecisive Erev maker put 5 peaches on his cot next to a cup of apples, which reminds us that Rav Nachman ruled that the minimum amount of apples required for an Erev is a cov, the amount sufficient for 2 meals. The Gemara challenges this ruling based on a ruling said in the name of Rav that 5 peaches is sufficient to make an Erev. Since apples and peaches are both fruits, why does Rav Nachman require the larger amount of a cov for apples? The Gemara answers, Hani Cheshive, the peaches are significant food for the meal. Rashi explains, based on the Gemara later on Amud Beis, that for those foods which are eaten as part of the meal, the full equivalency of 2 meals is not required. Rather, only the amount of that food which would be eaten during the 2 meals need to be placed in the Erev. Whereas Hani Lo Cheshive, the apples are not significant, and the larger amount is required. The Mefarshim mentioned the apples in Talmudic times were hard and not tasty. So the indecisive Erev maker put 5 peaches on his cot next to a cup of apples to decide which to use for his Erev, then changed his mind and chose to combine 4 foods for 2 meals instead. Which reminds us, it's stated in the Mishnah mentioned earlier, "Ubemazon shtei seudos le'erev," and all foods combine to equal the amount of food for 2 meals, which is the amount required to make an Erev. Rav Yosef thought to say, "Ad de'eka sudamahai v'sudamahai," that different foods may be combined only if there's an amount sufficient from this food for 1 meal and 1 meal from this food, but that smaller amounts of 3 or more foods may not be combined. Rava said to him, "Afilo mechzel l'shish l'raviyah," even a half, third, or a quarter of a meal may come from each of the foods. The only condition is that the combined total equals the amount of 2 meals. So the indecisive Erev maker put 5 peaches on his cot next to a cup of apples to decide which to use for his Erev, then changed his mind and chose to combine 4 foods for 2 meals instead, and include a little beer. Which reminds Rav Acha Breda Rav Yosef thought to say before his father Rav Yosef that the amount of beer required to make an Erev is 2/4 of a cup or 2 lugin. This was based on a calculation made from Hilchos Shabbos regarding carrying, where the amount of beer one would be chai for carrying is 1/4 of a cov, which is 4 times the amount of wine one would be chai for carrying. So assuming the ratio of 4-1 is a standard, then if half a lug of wine is needed to make an Erev, then 2 lugin of beer should be required. The Gemara says that this question does not apply, since the reason we need 4 times the amount of beer than wine for carrying is that we need something chashuv. Whereas with regards to an Erev, we don't require an amount that is chashuv. We only require an amount that people would normally eat, which in the case of beer is less than 2 lugin. Daf Lamed. So the Simmer Daf Lamed is a Malamed, a Rebbe. So here goes. The Rebbe, that makes me more on Daf Lamed. The Rebbe fed his class Mizonos to satisfy their hunger and sustain them. Which reminds us, the Gemara inferred from the Mishnah statement, Hanodamina mazum mutter b'maim u'b'melech, one who vowed to abstain from sustenance is permitted to drink water and have salt, that specifically only water and salt are not called sustenance, but all other foods are called sustenance. This seems to refute the opinions of Rav and Shmuel, who both said, Ein mevarchem berei minei mezonos elo chameshas haminim bilvad. We may only make the bracha who creates types of sustenance on the five types of grains. Rav Huna said that there's no refutation because the Mishnah's referring to someone who vowed and said kol hazon alai. Anything that satisfies is prohibited to me. Water and salt do not satisfy, but all other foods do satisfy. Rashi explains that the term mazon, on the other hand, implies something that sustains the heart and satisfies hunger, which is something only the five grains do. This distinction is evident in an incident with Rabbi Yochanan, who ate large amounts of the very sweet Peros Ginnesar, and although he felt satisfied, he expressed that he did not feel sustained. So the Rebbe fed his class mazonos to satisfy their hunger and sustain them, as they schlepped their beds and utensils out to make an Erev, which reminds the Gemara brings two versions of what Beis Shammai holds regarding an Erev. It was taught in a Brice that the Beis Shammai holds, Ein ma'arvin le'nazir b'yayin u'yisrael b'truma. We may not make an Erev for a Nazir with wine or for a Yisrael with truma. When Beis Hillel challenged Beis Shammai, the Jess as Beis Shammai agree that one may make an Erev for an adult Erev Yom Kippur, even though the adult cannot eat the food on Yom Kippur, since the food may be eaten by children, so too one should be allowed to make an Erev for a Nazir with wine or for Yisrael with truma. Beis Shammai responded that in the case of Yom Kippur, the Erev is a meal that was suitable for the person to eat while it's still day, whereas in the case of the Nazir, the Erev of wine was not suitable to him, Erev Shabbos. According to Hananya, Beis Shammai would only consider an Erev valid ad sheyotzi mitasav kol klei tashmishu l'sham, if one took out his bed and all of his utensils, which he'll need for Shabbos, to the place of the Erev. So the Rebbe fed his class mazonos to satisfy their hunger and sustain them, as they schlepped their beds and utensils out to make an Erev, along with two meals measured according to each kid. Which reminds, the Gemara seeks to determine whose opinion a Mishnah follows that states, Yesha amru akol afi mashu adam. There are incidents where they said that the measurement is determined according to each individual and no uniform measure was established, such as the kmitza from a mincha, the handful of katoras on Yom Kippurim, one who drinks a mouthful on Yom Kippur, and food for two meals for an Erev. Rabbi Zera said at Simchus, who said, "My dechazile bi'inan, it must be fit for the individual involved." Daf Lamed Aleph. So the Siman for Lamed Aleph is the law, and we think of a judge. I did a little Siman surgery here at the very end. Instead of saying giving it to a kitchliach, I said giving it to little Shimi, the shaliach. So here goes. Judge Cohn. Judge, that must be run Daf Lamed Aleph. Judge Cohn was being carried in a box to the cemetery to determine if the Erev was on a grave. Which reminds us, in the Mishnah on Daf Chav Vav Amud Beis, Reb Yudah said that a Cohn may place his Erev afil ben akvaros, even in a cemetery, because the Cohn can make a partition between himself and the grave and then go through the cemetery and eat his Erev. After determining on Ardav how exactly the Cohn can access the Erev without becoming Tame, the Gemara seeks to understand why the Rabbanan forbid using it. The Gemara explains that they hold Asuik Nos Bayis B'Yisurihana. They hold that it's prohibited to acquire a dwelling place with objects that are Asr Bahana, and therefore he may not place his Erev on a grave. Rashi explains that a grave and the implements of a corpse are forbidden for one's personal benefit based on the Gezer Shava, which connects the passing of Miriam with the subject of the Egla Rufa. Just as one cannot derive Hana from the decapitated calf, so too one cannot derive Hana from a corpse or its implements. So Judge Cohn was being carried in a box through the cemetery to determine if the Erev was on a grave, when he noticed the Levi separating Maaser Rishon from standing grain for his Erev. Which reminds, the next Mishnah states that one may make an Erev with Maaser Rishon Shanitka Trumaso, Maaser Rishon whose Truma had been taken. The Gemara clarifies that the Mishnah is coming to teach that Maaser Rishon is permissible to use Shehikdimu B'Shibalin when the separation was done while the grain was still in the ears, before the owner was even obligated to separate Truma for the Kohen. The owner therefore only needs to separate Maaser Rishon and Trumas Maisus, but not Truma Gedola. The Gemara points out that the Mishnah's teaching is in accordance with Rabbi Avo, who said in the name of Reish Lakish, Maaser Rishon Shehikdim B'Shibalin Patima Truma Gedola. Maaser Rishon, which was taken off while the grain was still in the ears, is pater from Truma Gedola, as it says in the Pasuk regarding Maaser Rishon, Behirimosa Mimenu Truma Hashem Maaser Mina Maaser, and you should offer up from it Hashem's Truma, a tithe of the Maaser. Maaser mina Maaser, Marti Lecha. I told you, referring to the Levi, to give the Kohen a tithe of the Maaser, velo Truma Gedola mina Maaser, and not both Truma Gedola and Truma's Maaser from the Levi's Maaser Rishon. So Judge Cohn was being carried in a box to the cemetery to determine if the Erev was on a grave, when he noticed the Levi separating Maaser Rishon from standing grain for his Erev, and giving it to little Shimi, the Shaliach. Which reminds, the next Mishnah states, that if one sends his Erev in the hands of a Katan, it's not a valid Erev, even if he deposits it in the proper place. The Gemara asks why Katan cannot serve as a shaliach, since Rav Huna said, Katan govas the Erev, a child may collect the Erev food from members of the Chatzer for an Erev Chatzeros. The Gemara answers that our mission is dealing with an Erev Tchumim, whereas Rav Huna was discussing an Erev Chatzeros. Rashi explains that the purpose of an Erev Tchumim is to acquire a Shabbos residence, and a minor lacks the power of acquisition, therefore he can't serve as a shaliach. In the case of the Erev Chatzeros, however, the child is merely gathering the Erev food into one place, and automatically the various dwellings merge into one place. Daf Lamed Beis. So the Sefer Lamed Beis is a lab, and we think of a mad scientist. So here goes. The mad scientist, that must be more on Daf Lamed Beis, lab. The mad scientist who studied human behavior by giving a shlich the task of bringing the Omer, which reminds us, Rav Nachman said, B'shal Torah ein chazaka shlich osa shlichuso. Regarding a deraisa, we do not rely on the presumption that a shlich performed his shlichus. And B'shal Sofrim, chazaka shlich osa shlichuso. Regarding a derabanan, we may rely on the presumption that the shlich performed his shlichus. Rashi explains that the difference is that in regards to a derabanan, even if the shlich didn't fulfill his shlichus, the transgression is less severe. Rav Sheshes said, regarding both a deraisa and a derabanan, we may rely on the presumption that the shliach performed his mission. Rav Sheshes brings three supports to his position. The first one based on a Mishnah that teaches when the Omer is brought, the Chadash is permitted to those that live far from Yerushalayim, who couldn't know exactly when it was brought, from midday onward. This seems to prove that in the case of a deraisa, we can presume a shliach did his shlichas. Rav Nachman answered that this case is different, because people know the Beis Din doesn't procrastinate. So the mad scientist who studied human behavior by giving a shliach the task of bringing the Omer and asking a chaver to hand out baskets of fruit, which reminds us there's a machlokas of one who was invited to take a basket of fruit from a chaver has to take off trumas and maisers. Rebbe says he may eat from the fruits and assume that the chaver separated trumas and maisers, whereas Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says he must first separate trumas and maisers because chaver are not suspected of separating trumas and maisers shulamina mukab when they're not in close proximity of the food which it is taken off from. Ravina understands that the machlokas between them is that Rebbe holds nichalei l'chaver de la'avid hu yisura klila, a chaver would be amenable to commit a minor infraction, i.e. not tithing from produce in proximity to the food needed to be tithed, but lo yavid ama'aretz yisura rabba, so that a common person doesn't commit a major transgression, such as eating tevel. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel holds that it would be more amenable to a chaver that the ama'aretz commit a major infraction, such as eating tevel, and he himself would not commit even a minor infraction, such as tithing from produce that was not mina mukav. So the mad scientist who studied human behavior by giving a shliach the task of bringing the omer and asking a chaver to hand out baskets of fruit loved watching people figure out what they should do when their erev was put in a tree. Which reminds us that the next Mishnah states that if one put his erev in a tree at a height of more than 10 tefachim off the ground, then the erev isn't valid. But if it's below 10 tefachim, the erev is valid. The Gemara determines that we're discussing a case where the tree is in a rishus or rabim. Therefore, even when the erev is above 10 tefachim and the person intends to establish his Shabbos residence on the ground, then the person is not in the same place as his erev. However, when it's below 10 tefachim, even though there is the problem of removing the erev from the tree, the Mishnah is going according to Rebbe, who holds, Kol davar shehu mishum shvus, will gazra la ben hashmashos. Any activity that's prohibited the Rabbanan on Shabbos was not forbidden during ben hashmashos. Since he's permitted to remove the erev from the tree ben hashmashos, the erev is considered accessible and therefore valid. All right, now it's time to conclude our pop quiz of 10 questions plus 3 bonus questions from the Sechus, Brachos, and Shabbos. Number 1. What should happen when there's no standard measure for kmitza, chafina, drinking on Yom Kippur, and for 2 meals for making an erev? That's on Daf. Lamed. Good. Number 2. Which Daf thing that Rabbi Yochanan teaches ein lamidim in a klalos? That's on Daf. Chav Zayin. Good. Number 3. Which Daf thing that an erev less than 10 tefachim high in a tree is valid based on Rebbe who holds kol davar shehu mishum shvus l'gazru l'bein hashmashos? That's on Daf. Lamed Beis. Good. Number 4. Which Daf thing that only the 5 grains both satisfy hunger and provide one with strength and sustenance? That's on Daf. Lamed. Good. Number 5. Which of the one that we do not combine the principles of chokaking l'hashlim and good achis together? That's on Daf. Lamed Gimel. Good. Number 6. Which Daf do we have in Machokas? Whether it's chazak shliach osa shulchuso with a deraisa? That's on Daf. Lamed Beis. Good number seven. Which stuff do we learn that a child cannot be a shliach for an Erev Tchum since he can't acquire the place as a residence? That's on Duff. Lamed Aleph. Good number eight. Which stuff do we have machok is whether a chaver would commit a minor avera to prevent an ama'aretz from a larger one or not? That's on Duff. Lamed Beis. Good number nine. Which of the when the Rebbe holds an Erev in a basket above 10 tefachim in a thin tree is valid because of chokeking l'hashlim? That's on Duff. Lamed Gimel. Good. And number 10, which of the when the Rebbe Yirmiyahu holds that even an Erev in a basket above 10 tefachim in a tree is valid since one can tip the basket downwards so that the Erev is in the carmelis? That's on Duff. Lamed Gimel. Good. Now the three bonus questions. Number one, which of the when the Rav Nachman applies the principle of good achis to the boats of Meshon? That's on Duff. Kufalf and Shabbos. Good number two. Which stuff do we discuss which Avera the Makoshish Eitzim did? That's on Duff. Tzadivav and Shabbos. Good. And number three. Which stuff do we and what a latecomer to Shul should do? That's on Duff. Chafalf and Bragas. Excellent. So that concludes our pop quiz. This is Rabbi Avram Goldman Zichu wishing you a great day and great learning.